Welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is October 26, 2016, and tonight we're talking with a group of colleagues and partners about the Letters to the Next President 2.0 project. We're talking about the ways that it supports civic participation and connected learning, and what we've been learning from it all. I'm your host, Christina Cantrell, at the National Writing Project, and I'm based in Philadelphia. For those of you not yet familiar with the project, Letters to the Next President engages and connects youth 13 to 18 as they research, write, and make media to voice their opinions about issues that matter to them in the coming election. The site is now open for submissions. You should check out the site at letters2president.org. That's letters2president.org. And there you can see many letters as well as access a range of resources. And just to know, we're 2 weeks away from the election, and Letters to the Next President will stay open for the next 2 weeks for all the final letters to be submitted and published. We'll close for submissions on election night after the election, and then at that point we'll turn our attention to amplifying the many issues and ideas and passions that the youth care most about and that they shared with us. Just a note quickly that this show is being pre-recorded, so we'll not have live social media as you're listening to this, but we will post relevant links and resources to our archive as well as to the hashtag #2NextPres. So that's the hashtag that we've been using throughout this project, and I'd encourage you to check out 2NextPres on Twitter, and you can also check out the Letters to the Next President group on Facebook. And there you can share thoughts, ideas, and resources that you also have about this project, and we'll post some links there too. Okay, so I'm really, really excited about tonight. We have a whole host of wonderful guests with us. Tonight we're welcoming Layla Lois Beard, who's the writing coordinator at the LA Writing Project at Cal State LA. We have Sarah Beverly with us from the Philadelphia Writing Project. She's a seventh grade English teacher at the Lee School in West Philadelphia, just down the road from me. Carrie Henry is an English teacher at, how do you say the school's name?
Wairika
High School. Great, thank you. And a teacher consultant for the Northern California Writing Project. We have Aram Cambodian, Red Cedar Writing Project teacher consultant from Red Cedar, from East Lansing, Michigan area. We have Elisa Leon, who's the migrant education lead teacher and parent liaison for the ABC Unified School District. We have Rachel Robinson with us from the who is a news education manager at KQED in San Francisco in their KQED Learning program. And then Carla Trutman, an English social studies teacher at Wairika High School and an in-service coordinator for the Northern California Writing Project. Wow, what a great group. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Pleased to be here.
You're welcome.
Pleased to be here.
Thank you.
Oh, super excited. Okay, so to kick us off, Rachel, I wanted to turn to you. NWP and KQED have been hosting this project together. It's been really exciting for us to be partners in this work and then to bring on lots of different partners and educators in our various networks to participate. And I've had a chance to work side by side with you as this project is developing. I was wondering if you could start off with a little background about the project and just give us a view on where Letters to the Next President is today.
Great. I'm glad to do it. I'm really excited to report that as of today, there are over 2,500 posted letters from 104 sites from Alaska to Florida and most states in between. And we can see that on the back end, there are sites registered from all 50 states and hundreds, maybe even thousands more letters in draft. This is exciting, given that we launched back in August with just a scattering of letters and huge hopes that this latest iteration of Letters to the Next President would take off. And it definitely has. As Christina mentioned, youth writers are making their voices heard on a wide variety of issues, and it's really powerful to see the site grow day by day. by the time we close on election night, we should have many, many more letters. And I encourage everyone to go and check it out. As most listeners probably know, the first version of Letters to the Next President took place ahead of the 2008 election and used the Google Docs platform, which was then very cutting edge. This year, the website is designed to accept all forms of media. So that's video, audio, images, and text. We have video letters, we have audio letters, we have infographics, spoken word pieces, and even a few songs. And we have lots of well-crafted text letters. I'm sure we'll hear more about how this looks on the ground from the other guests on the program, and I can't wait to hear from them. But one of the things that I've heard about and seen in action is how powerful it's been for youth writers and educators to have the chance to publish their ideas and also, at the same time, have a chance to read what other teens around the country are thinking. I talked to a teacher from the Delta region of Louisiana, and her students, she was mentioning, are almost as excited to see what other teens were writing about as they were about publishing their own letters. Letters to the Next President was a way to engage in the election, but it also was a way for her students in a pretty small rural community to engage with their peers across the country. And this is yet another important aspect of this project, and it's significant in a way that I wasn't expecting. I shouldn't have been surprised, but it was great to see that in action. Young people are eager to make their voices heard, and they're just as eager to share with each other and see what others care about. I love the way that the Letters to the Next President is really helping that happen all over the country.
Great. Thank you, Rachel. And I was just thinking that we could, there was some local press on that work in Louisiana that we could share out too as part of this archive. So we'll put that in the archive and also on the feed. Thank you so much for that
great
background.
Idea.
It is so exciting to see these letters start to populate. So now I'd like to turn to our colleagues from two writing project sites in different parts of the country. First, we'll hear from our colleagues at the LA Writing Project at Cal State LA, and then at the Red Cedar Writing Project in East Lansing, Michigan. And I know that each of you have been working with Writing Project colleagues and then also with youth and members of the community around this project. And we'd love to hear, you know, how this is happening, how you're designing it, and what it's really looking like on the ground for you. Layla Lois, could you kick us off here? You and Alicia, would be great to hear from you both.
Yes. Great. Well, I just want to give a little bit of background on our writing project in Los Angeles. We, for probably about 12 years now, have summer camps for elementary students entering first grade. All the way to sixth grade, and then we have our Secondary Writing Institute during the same time in the month of July that will go from seventh grade to 12th grade, students entering those grades. So we hosted over 250 students this year, and students from the ABC Unified School District in the Long Beach area became a part of our program, and they are unique because these students came every day, Monday through Thursday, for 3 weeks, all the way from Long Beach to Los Angeles from the Migrant Education Program. And we are super excited to have made a connection with them and to have their students in our program. So in total, the amount of students that we had writing in the Secondary Writing Institute and working on this campaign, Letters to the Next Pres, was probably about 45 students, secondary writing students. So I'm going to hand it over to Alicia so she can give you a little bit more information about the program.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to share my part with the Writing Institute this summer. We recruited our students for the extended program with our migrant education, and these students have to be qualified for to be in migrant education, and they qualify based on their parents' work status. And so if they have been involved in any type of migratory work where they work in maybe fields and just different parts of migrant work, then they are recruited within our district and they're part of our migrant education, and we we offer them Saturday school. And in this case, we partnered up with the Writing Institute so that we can offer them the extended writing piece for them. And so we did have the privilege of having 45 students coming over to us. And we would pick them up at one school site and ride a 45 to an hour bus ride to LA. And it was a really neat experience because our students, first of all, they don't get out of our city. And now they're going into LA and then they're being expected to push themselves to write and think and be in a college setting. And so the whole experience was incredible.
Okay, now I'll talk a little bit about what the students produced with our teachers and fellows from the Los Angeles Writing Project. We used a different, you know, different combinations of platforms that the Letters to the Next Press website offered and as far as examples of different media tools that you could use to you know, create the letters. So the students wrote from traditional letters all the way to making videos with audio and pictures on the Canvas app. They did stories about where I come from, you know, based on the poem by Georgia L. Lyons. They, you know, to get them to open up, because what we found out with this, you know, group and just living in Los Angeles, there's a lot of silence, you know, of not saying where you're from, not making it known what community that you come from, the type of work that you do with your family. So we had to break down those barriers. And I can tell you that the Letters to the Next President really opened up a floodgate for them to express themselves and to break that silence and to talk about what concerned them, because a lot of those issues hit very close to home for them and with their families. And so it was great to see a program like this be that opener, be that, you know, that catalyst for them to understand that they do have a voice, that it's a youth voice that should be heard. So we're really excited that that was the piece that they engaged the most with and that broke down those barriers for them to write and create, use the computer, look at the website, look at the other letters that were written from other students, you know, get inspired, you know, and motivated. So, Alicia, I know that you'll go ahead and talk a little bit about, you know, them finding their writing voice.
I did want to share especially the piece where initially the students, again, they were really intimidated and shy because they're in a college setting, but they were able to express themselves initially in writing because they were able to relate on the topics. The theme was roots. So they were able to talk about and break that initial shyness with their own personal experiences. And so they started talking about writing about where they came from and how their opinions are formed and how their family, their history really truly shapes what they think now. And so the students really did work the first 2 weeks building on thinking about their roots and their backgrounds so that they're able to really express ultimately in this letter to the next president and really express their true concerns. And I think that some of the students felt that their words were valuable. And initially, they become shy for whatever reasons. Maybe they come from a background when they're supposed to stay quiet and not really share their opinion. But in this experience within writing and within talking with their group, they were allowed, or I think that they felt comfortable really sharing what they felt and what they thought about specific topics. And I felt that they really did feel valued.
You know, that brings me to, you know, our culminating event. You know, this was a very, you know, special time for students, you know, in the migrant ed program. So we did find a way that the parents could actually come with them to come to our open house at the end and see the students, mm-hmm. you know, publish their work, read it in front of the class, of their peers. You know, the students and the parents were not able to come to our open, well, it was actually our orientation because of, you know, not having the means to travel or having to work. So we made that possible, but it just kind of, you know, shows you that, you know, it's the limitations that are placed there and, well, you know, just kind of how we were able to break those down. So when the parents came to see the work that the students put together, they also met with one of our teachers named Dr. Castaneda, and he did a whole kind of like orientation about what the program was like in Spanish for them and to understand what the students actually, you know, experienced being in our program. And they were very thankful, and the parents voiced that, you know, their children were now thinking of going to college, you know, writing more, yeah. Not thinking that it's the end after high school and they may have to come and work with them, mm-hmm. wherever that may be.
Yeah. If I could add, there was a really powerful part I felt when one of the parents was literally in tears and expressing how she was grateful to this program for the opportunity they had offered her child, and really enlightening him and allowing him to see truly beyond just this one experience, but also wanting to seek a higher education on his own. She was in tears because she said that for many years she really pushed him and encouraged him on her own. She would say, "I want you to go to college. I want you to go to college." But he never knew what it was until this experience, and she was able to see her child, you know, grow. And she said, "I'm grateful to you all for the work that you've done in a short time to influence my son to go to college. What I couldn't do for years, you guys did in a couple of weeks." And that was a really powerful piece. When you just become overwhelmed with the joy, knowing that what they produced truly has affected beyond a student. So it was great. It was really powerful.
Wow. I feel really moved actually hearing you both share that story. So thank you. That's lovely. And I'm really also, I mean, we can go back to this, but just the way that you talk about breaking down limitations, and like the way you design to build for possibility is really, really exciting. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, and congratulations on a really wonderful project.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. Okay, so let's keep going because this is just great already. So thank you. Let's move to our colleagues in Michigan. Aram, I know you've been working hard with a lot of your colleagues there, and we'd love to hear what's happening in your neck of the woods.
Sure, Christina. Whereas the two women from the LA Writing Project seem to be working so directly with students and really doing some transformative work, it sounds like some amazing stories there. I'm a little bit more detached. I'm working with the teachers, and I'm getting those stories that they were just talking about sort of secondhand through them. But some of the similar stories, but it all sort of starts with our listserv. We have over 150 past writing teaching consultants, who are part of kind of a community that we kind of keep in touch with through email, sometimes asking questions of each other, sometimes just sharing resources like this with each other. And I reached out to them and I said, you know, anybody interested in this? And a group of them came to a half-day Saturday workshop in August, and some of them brought a couple of their teacher friends who hadn't gone through writing project yet, but were excited about it. And so we went through taking a look at the website, some of the letters that students had put up there over the past summer. Some was in video form, some of the written letters, a couple of the audio, kind of ran through that with them. It kind of helped them to get excited about it. But for me, it was seeing their eyes light up and go, wow, this is going to be cool. They were very psyched about it, about doing it. Because I was a teacher, public school teacher for 25 years, middle school and high school, and that was one of the things that I always wanted to do even more than I did, was to get the students some real audiences. And I could see in the faces of the teachers I was working with that they were really excited to offer this opportunity to the students. And we were fortunate to have Rachel, who's with us today, come and join us via Skype during that workshop. I wanted to thank her publicly for giving of that time. She helped answer a lot of the questions that I couldn't get to, and that was another level of, made it more of a rich discussion that we had that day. But essentially, I went through and gave step-by-step instructions, sort of one way that they could offer it in their classes, a kind of a framework to help them try and work it into their curriculum, also sort of supplement it to some of their curriculums. There's a link, I guess it's going to be on the archive of those instructions if people are still going to or able to do that before the election. And then it was, after that, it came down to just keeping in touch with those teachers. I kept hearing back from them. A couple of them had some questions, and I would answer them if I could, and then I'd find the answer from somebody else if I could. And so it was just, trying to use the kind of email, and I ended up seeing a couple of face-to-face at the Michigan Council of Teachers of English Conference. I did present a session on the letters to the next president there, and a couple of those same teachers that I had worked with before came back and had some specific questions and stories of excitement that they were how I was being implemented. But then there was, another group of teachers who I was able to share it with at that conference, and it just kind of kept the wheels rolling. I thought getting more and more excitement about the program. There is a social blogging website called Youth Voices that is also using the same letters to the president. It's with Paul Allison, who's a writing project person, and he is offering that as one of the many ways that students from in that network are expressing their concerns too. And so I like that it's kind of giving so many hundreds and probably thousands of students across the country that opportunity to get their voice heard. And it's been really quite powerful to see. I'm going to end with a specific piece of feedback I got via email just a couple of days ago from Crystal Nelson. She's a middle school English teacher in Everett Middle School in northern Michigan. And here's what she had to say. She said, "My students are finally producing some beautiful work, and they are so personally invested in it. It took some time to get to this point, but it was well worth it. I am really proud of what's happening in my classroom as a result." And, really pleased to hear that, and I've heard that from several different teachers, that they're seeing the kids really connect with a subject that they care about, and they're able to express it and get kind of psyched that their audience is so large.
That's great, Aram. Thank you so much. And I feel like this, sometimes the role of the person who helps the connections be made can be undervalued, and the person who supports the sort of, you know, is a mentor and can support, be a thinking partner along the way. It's such a valuable role that you play, and especially in, you know, everybody's got the complexities of their own classrooms, and I'm sure having you in the mix was a really important piece of that in your community. So we really appreciate you sharing how you've been designing for that. And I think as Writing Project colleagues, we can really, you know, learn from these kind of designs and the ways we can all support each other in this kind of work. So thank you for sharing that. That's wonderful.
Sure.
And now we'll go further east and also back to California. So I want to bring in two more colleagues from two different sites. Both these Writing Project sites have been engaged in the College Ready Writers Program, which was developed by National Writing Project teacher leaders from across the country over the past 2 years. And the goal of College Ready Writers is to, this is from their website, to assure more teachers have the ability to teach college and career ready writing with an emphasis on writing argument based on nonfiction texts. So in this work, they've developed sets of mini units and resources that are really supplement lots of different curriculum. And I'm sure that Sarah, Carrie, and Carla can talk about it better than I can. But I just wanted to say that I know that these teachers and Writing Project sites have been involved in this work and really thinking very carefully about the development of argument together as colleagues and also with their students, and then working on this project in their classrooms. So I thought it would be really great to hear from them and really get a sense of how that's going. I also had a really great opportunity to hear a couple of Sarah's students who were sharing works of progress that they were working on at the Philadelphia Writing Project's 30th anniversary. So, Sarah, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the work you've been doing, because those letters were really inspiring, and I so appreciate the kids sharing that work.
Of course. Well, first, thank you. I know the students were really excited to be able to share their work, so I'll be sure to let them know that you pass along those congratulations. So yes, I'm really excited to be working with the College Ready Writers Program this year. And I first heard about the Letters to the Next President initiative through CRWP. And through my affiliation with the Philadelphia Writing Project, I had two students selected to then present their letters to the next president at the Philadelphia Writing Project 30th anniversary celebration. And so with those two particular students, we did a lot of workshopping during study hall, during lunchtime, in the time leading up to the Philadelphia 30th anniversary celebration. So on one hand, I was able to see kind of that full process with those two students, and now I'm working with my entire class then to go through the process of letters to the next president. So what I really love about the overall initiative is that it really gives teachers the opportunity to honor students' voices and interests. So in particular, Letters to the Next President has really been part of an extended unit that we've been working on in my seventh grade classroom this school year. So for instance, to kick off our school year, my seventh graders made changemaker mission statements. So our class theme is that changemakers learn to read and write so that together we can change the world. Some examples of the seventh grade mission statements include things like, as a changemaker, I read because I want to help make the world that knows right from wrong. As a change maker, I read to get a better understanding of the world because I want to make the world a safer place. So right off the bat, at the beginning of the school year, I clearly saw that my students were interested in engaging in real-world topics. So Letters to the Next President was a perfect transition then. So to kick off Letters to the Next President in my classroom, I led a brainstorming activity with my seventh grade students in which I divided up my class into small groups of about 3 to 4 students each, and each group received a piece of chart paper. So knowing that my students come from diverse backgrounds and have a lot to say and to bring to the table with them, we divided up the chart paper into four sections: my neighborhood, Philadelphia, my country, and the world. And then to begin to elicit ideas, the students then brainstormed issues or challenges that they see in each area of their lives, either in their neighborhood, city, country, or world. And so not only was Letters to the Next President a wonderful opportunity for students to talk about the concerns that they see in their community, but also really brainstorm with each other how do issues that they're seeing in their community then translate into the larger picture, whether it's across America or in the world. So next, after each group had time to brainstorm, we then did a gallery walk so that the students could see what the other groups had brainstormed together. And then each student was given a couple post-it notes so they had the opportunity to add on to each other's chart paper. So that's really what the brainstorming session looked like as we were launching Letters to the Next President. And then from the brainstorming activity, I realized that a lot of the students were discussing local issues like gun violence and police brutality. And so as an additional scaffold, before the students then began to write their letter to the next president, we really jumped into one particular debate topic in which we read a series of articles about whether or not police should wear body cameras. So this is an example of how we really pulled in the many units and resources from College Ready Writers Program and talked about whether or not police should wear body cameras using articles from the New York Times Room for Debate website and Junior Scholastic to inform our work. So as we went through as a class, how we build an argument, how we can effectively cite evidence, what makes a credible source or a non-credible source, the students then wrote a argument letter based on that topic, and I used then one of CRWP's formative assessment tools called the Using Sources tools, and with my colleagues, we went through their argument writing, and now we're able to really diagnose their letters and see what then are the many units we need to teach next, whether we need to teach more into how we're connecting our evidence to the claim, if we need to teach more about creating counterclaims, or if we need to teach more into developing a strong claim that's debatable and defensible. So then this work, in addition to the writing, also complements the reading that we're doing because we're currently reading March by John Lewis, which is his graphic novel memoir about his experiences in the civil rights era. So that then is a springboard into our letters to the next president because students will now have brainstormed issues that they're passionate about locally and then nationally. And then we will have gone through an argument writing piece where they can see those examples of how we read multiple articles to become informed about an issue, create a claim, and then cite evidence under that. And then in reading March by John Lewis, seeing how changemakers have historically worked for civil rights and worked to reduce some of these challenges both locally and nationally. So our final step then is to have students pick a topic that they're passionate about and then use this topic in their letter to the next president.
Wow, that was a lovely description, a lovely painting you just painted, Sarah, of how this is actually happening in your classroom. Thank you so much. And I'm really struck by the ways that you are digging into both individual issues as well as coming together around some shared things that you want to talk about and think through and using text in that way, also to share common things while also looking at individual issues. That's really powerful. So thank you for sharing that. I'd love to just move, and we can keep talking about sort of how this work unfolds in terms of argument writing. Karen, Carla, I know you've been doing this kind of work in your area too and connecting it to letters to the next president. Do you want to give us, tell us how that's going, where you are?
Sure. First of all, Sarah, you make me want to teach seventh grade, so that sounds awesome.
I love seventh grade.
11th and 12th graders are a little bit more jaded. Excuse me, than seventh graders. But Carrie and I also started the school year with this Letters to the Next President mini unit from the CRWP. And I think that we were both surprised with how rich the mini unit ended up being. We got far more from our students than I think that we had anticipated, and it really revealed to us some things that we needed to work on with our students more than we had anticipated, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that one of the things that I noticed that I didn't expect was that the students became very interested in the topics that they chose, and it took a lot more time in class to really prepare them to do the writing that I think they wanted to do than I had initially expected.
Yeah, that was my experience as well. And we followed the sequencing of the mini unit from the CRWP website pretty closely. We approach things slightly differently, but I teach 11th and 12th graders, and Carrie has 11th graders. So we shared our 11th graders, all the 11th graders at Wairika High School have done the Letters to the Next President project, and most of the seniors at Wairika High School. And the conversation that happens not only in class but around campus relative to this this type of instruction has really been amazing, because kids are talking about topics and issues as opposed to what they had initially come into the project talking about, which were the personalities of the candidates, which I think is a really important shift for kids to make. And so we both started with having students take a look at current events. And I used an app called Flipboard. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it allows students to choose subjects that they're interested in, and then the app creates a personalized magazine for students and pulls in current articles from a multitude of sources like the New York Times or Washington Post or different magazines, and then students can browse through those articles and those headlines to find something that they're really interested in. So my students did that, but I know Carrie did took a slightly different approach.
Yeah, my approach was a little bit different. I took my students to the computer lab, and we had talked about what makes a credible source, and I just gave the students time to browse headlines and kind of see the kinds of headlines that interest them and why did they interest them, to start compiling lists of topics that they might be interested in writing.
So the topics were fairly sophisticated, which surprised me a little bit. We live in a very rural, isolated area, and so sometimes I don't give my students enough credit that they know what's going on in the larger world, but they proved me wrong. A lot of the topics that they were interested in included gun rights, LGBT rights, immigration, cost of college and free community college were a big topic. The national debt and terrorism were also hot topics. Some more obscure topics included changing the metric system, which was a surprise to me, felons' right to vote, police brutality, cancer research, Native American poverty, and sustainable energy. So the topics that students chose really ran a wide gamut, a wide range. And kids were really interested in what they chose, wouldn't you say, Carrie?
Definitely. And they were interested in what their peers were choosing as well. So they had their own passion that they were going to write about. But especially with college and cost of college and how important it is to have community college, whether or not that should be free, even if they weren't writing about that, they were all sort of on that topic and talking about ways to make it accessible to more students.
So, like I said, the conversation wasn't limited to the English classroom. It was also, you know, spread into the government classroom or the social studies classroom, and so it kind of became a campus-wide event, which was kind of exciting an exciting way to start the school year. The most interesting thing for me was the transition that students made. And when they were able to choose a topic that they were truly passionate about and that transition from being a passive learner to a self-directed learner, and how excited they were to share what they were learning with their peers. I love that energy in the classroom when they're just so excited to show, you know, the person sitting next to them what they've discovered. I think that is that's one of those moments that I just love about being a teacher.
I would definitely agree with that. My students were doing exactly the same thing. And so they were asking me, it was nice because those conversations led to conversations about what makes a credible source. And look, I found this information. How would I take this information and cite it so that I can attribute it to the right people? And where do I find the information of who those right people are when I add it into my letter? So because they were interested in the topics that they were writing about, it caused them to start to learn moves in argument writing that normally they wouldn't be quite as concerned with making.
So instead of, you know, instead of having this casting a wide net for all of these different topics, we also had to get students to kind of focus in on one. And the way that we did that was we used some notebook reflection questions, and students had to answer 9 or 10 questions about their topic, and that really helped them to pinpoint the issue that they were going to focus on. And we adapted those notebook reflection questions from part of the sequencing of the Letters to the Next President mini unit. And even though Carrie and I approached it slightly differently, I used the argument metaphor that's part of the CRWP. And I think, what did you use, Carrie?
I used language from my AP language and composition class, dealing with ethos, logos, and pathos, and counter-argument, you know, looking at the rhetorical triangle. So our language was a little bit different that we used, but sort of the moves that people who are writing arguments make were basically the same.
And so we both pulled letters from the 2008 round of Letters to the Next President to use as models for students and to help students begin to recognize those moves that writers make when they're making an argument. And that helped them then move on to that next step after they'd written their first draft. Not only could they recognize those moves that they were making themselves, but we did peer editing so that students could help each other and critique each other in helping them build the most powerful argument that they could. So after the first draft of the letters, for me, I wanted them to be done. I then read all of the letters, and I gave teacher feedback and met with each of the students and went over, you know, where they could strengthen their argument. And then students did a final round of corrections and edits before they were finished. So that was my process. And I'm not sure, Carrie, are your students still working on their letters?
Most of mine have finally turned in their final draft, but I opened it up a little bit longer for my students, and I allowed them to do multiple drafting of the letters and come and get more and more feedback. They could take it to peers. And so mine was really open through the end of the trimester, but at this point, most of my students have acknowledge that they're done, and most of them probably wrote 3 or 4 drafts before they felt like they were finished and ready to turn it in.
Which is amazing, because usually students write it once and think they're done.
Right.
So I think one of the most amazing things about the Letters to the Next President unit was that, you know, students become these self-directed learners, they become critical thinkers, they begin questioning, you know, not only the sound bites that they hear their parents talking about or what they hear on the news, but they really become critical thinkers, and they're empowered to share their ideas and their voice with the rest of the world, which I think is absolutely amazing. So it's been awesome.
It has been.
Oh, I love hearing you guys, and I know you're in the same room, and the sort of passion going between the two of you is very contagious, I think. So awesome. This is great. And I started thinking about, or I started writing down so many different implications of this work that you were talking about, from, you know, the youth being self-directed learners, and to their academic work, like the moves they're making in argument writing, for example. I'm also thinking back to what other people said, you know, about like how this is an opportunity for youth to choose not to be silent if they wanted to share what they were thinking about, for them to go deep into issues, to be cross-disciplinary, I think, is another really nice opportunity. And then I heard a lot about how, like, this work really inspires us as teachers and impresses us even as teachers. And, you know, wow, they're doing 4 revisions, and, you know, this is great. So that kind of passion is really palpable through, I think, all these stories we just heard. So thank you all for sharing those. I was wondering if we could just sort of open up the discussion, and I invite anybody to talk about this. Layla Lois, you actually, maybe you could kick us off if you don't mind, because we're talking about how you wanted to extend this project past the election and past this iteration of Letters to the Next President. Do you want to share that a little bit, and then we can open it up for further thinking in this direction?
Definitely. You know, we've had such huge success with our Secondary Writing Institute. You know, the parents have commented about the students' participation because we have other students that are not a part of the migrant education program that are currently in our fall session of writing classes, and then we're going to have a spring session. So we plan to continue the letters, and then, you know, whoever's, you know, becomes our president, just to continue that conversation. It's something about the process and the process of rigor that really interests me as an educator, and, you know, being in and out of the classroom, that works for our project in Los Angeles. The other thing is that, you know, I'm always interested in art and how that plays a big part, because it is a powerful vehicle for voice and for students to express themselves in that respect. So, you know, we kind of started on art projects with this, but I'm really looking forward to narrowing down a local community arts organization that will help us through one of their photo programs. And this would be students that are photographers, bring to life in a different way the letters that were produced during the summer. So we're working on that as well, and that would be another publishing opportunity for us, and also to bring our students from the ABC, you know, Unified School District, their migrant program, back to Los Angeles to meet the other students that have participated and have another type of, you know, event where we recognize, you know, their achievements. And now just looking for media coverage on this, you know, there's so much out there right now that I think that youth voice, there's opportunity for the youth voice to be heard. So we're going to start on our campus at Cal State LA with our campus newspaper there, and then work from there. And we've kind of got some things going with, I want to say, Christina's name is Bob, your media trainer. We talked
Bob
to him today.
Yeah, Bob's
in our office. Yeah. So we're looking to, you know, spread the word and kind of put our feelers out. To get that coverage about something that's so positive and life-changing for our student writers.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. And Rachel will talk a little bit more about media outreach, too, in a moment. Does anybody else want to share just your thoughts about sort of implications forward, or just sort of where you think this is leading for you or your students?
I'm kind of excited because my students are going to present, not all of them, but a few students are going to go to our next school board meeting and present their letters to the president, to our board of trustees, and they'll read them out loud at the board meeting. And I'm excited about that because I think sometimes people in the community think that the writing and what we do in school isn't real, doesn't have real world implications. And so for students to be able to share their thoughts and use their voice to share with adults in the community what's important to them, I think is really enlightening for our board of trustees as well as other community members. So kids are excited about the opportunity to do that, and I'm excited to see what that will yield as well.
Yeah, that's great. Go ahead, Aram. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would also add the kind of obvious that kids become adults, and I think this is we're really empowering a future generation of active, involved citizens here. I think it's a real good kind of positive kick in the butt to let them know, hey, your voice can be heard. You just got to get it out there, stick to the issues, back up what you're saying, you know, be passionate. It's I think, a great kind of gift for the future here.
That's lovely.
I just wanted to add the piece where the students are able to come back and have a conversation at home with their parents about what they feel, and especially have discussions with the topics that are being addressed in TV during, you know, these debates or what the candidates are bringing towards to us. So it's just a piece where now students are feeling a lot more comfortable because they're writing about it in school. Now they can come home and really talk about it and talk about facts that they've learned, because they've done research to write about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important too.
Yeah, so important. Just, I was thinking too, I'm really happy that you all shared these examples, because we have had teachers of younger students who are younger than 13, so they can't post, they're not posting in this online space. But they have been working in various ways to work with younger students too, because they're younger kids. The younger kids also are this passionate and really want to talk about the issues and topics, and this has been a really nice opportunity for them to do that, and the implications of being able to talk to their parents and connecting with community members and community leaders in their own neighborhoods and families is really important. So that's a thank you for bringing that up. Rachel, it would be great now if we could move towards closing. I'm a little afraid that the stream might keep going. So why don't you start, and then I'm going to try to extend this time. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's been so inspiring to hear from all of you. And hopefully our listeners will also be inspired. And if you are, there are pages and pages of resources on the Letters to Next President website. That's letters2president.org. And there are so many resources about the election, teaching the election, and also ways to create letters with students, including tutorials on making videos, political art, other multimedia projects. There's a CRWP unit that was discussed earlier. So there are so many great resources on the site for teachers to get going, and not just on this project, but on just the election in general. So from the homepage, all you need to do is click on the More button that's at the top, and then go to Resources for Educators, and get ready to browse, because there's a lot on there, and all of it is curated by us on the back end to make it as useful as possible. But something else that was also referenced, which is so great to hear, is that, you know, definitely share this project with the community beyond your school. We've talked a lot about how students are even more inspired by having an authentic publishing platform, having an authentic voice, and one of the ways to make that voice even more authentic is to spread that word. The school board meeting is an amazing idea. Some folks have called in their superintendent, you know, to the school itself, or talked to their elected officials, like their mayors or their representatives. So definitely don't be shy. The Letters to the Next President, this is a wonderful story and a great way to engage with the news media and other folks. During an election cycle that has been negative in so many unprecedented ways. In many ways, you'll be doing your community a favor by adding some positive stories to the mix. And what could be more positive, right, than young people who are passionate about the issues that affect us all. So definitely encourage all of you and to keep reaching out and continue to reach out. In the educator resource section that I just mentioned, there's a link to a guide about connecting with your local media. You can also reach out to me, and I know some of you have already reached out to Bob at NWP. Both of us are definitely available to you to talk through things or talk more about messaging. So we've gotten some great coverage already, and it looks like we're about to get more in LA. So the key is to start as locally as possible. Leah Lois and Alicia, reaching out to your college paper, you know, great way to start super locally and then kind of build yeah. from there. So your hometown paper, your local TV station, your mayor, you know, the folks that know your community the best. And then once you make contact with that audience, all that's really left to do is to share your enthusiasm. So it's not complicated. It's not any kind of spin. It's just being really genuine and honest about how this has transformed your students. And all of you have shared your stories here, and I'm sure anyone listening would also be able to chime in with their stories. Such a powerful project, and it would be so great to make sure that as many people in our communities know about it. It's also a lot easier than you think. So don't be shy, and again, don't be shy to reach out to folks that can support you at KQED and at NWP.
Great. Thank you, Rachel. And I was afraid for a moment that we were going to get cut off here, and I didn't want to end abruptly without being able to hear from you, and really appreciate all your work in supporting folks and getting the word out. And since we have a few moments left, it's not going to cut us off. I just wanted to see if maybe we wanted to sort of do a round of just last thoughts or last words that we're leaving tonight with. Feel free to add yours. I'll just say my last thoughts coming out of this is just, you know, we've been so excited on the NWP, and I think I can speak for KQED, and to, like, just seeing the letters populate and helping to grow this project. But I'm really looking forward to an opportunity to really spend some time with the letters and to really read and have a chance to really help amplify what the youth have been writing about. So it's really exciting work, and so appreciate you all making this happen.
This is Carla from the Northern California Writing Project, and I just have to say that given the negativity and the horrid nature of the campaign this election cycle, I have to say that reading the letters of my students gives me hope for the future. And I have to say that in many, many cases, the students that are, 16 and 17 years old are making much more logical, reasoned arguments than some of the candidates that are running for president, and that's encouraging for our future. So it's given me hope.
Great, thank you.
I'd like to build off of that. This is Sarah from Philadelphia. I think with my seventh graders, what's really exciting as well is that Letters of the Next President not only enables students to talk about issues and topics that are in this election, but then it enables us to expand it into then not only staying in this problem space, but then talking about, okay, what are solutions? What are people actively doing right now, whether it's through nonprofits, local government, universities, who are working to make a difference in these areas? So I think that's an exciting extension as well, that students can see both the issues and the people who are working to make a difference.
Great, thank you.
You know, I just want to thank the National Writing Project, KQED. I mean, everyone. This helps students, even reluctant writers, see beyond what's right in front of them, because sometimes, depending on what's going on in their life and at their age, getting ready to be a young adult or being a young adult is hard enough. And to have something like this that is put in front of them that motivates, that engages, makes them ask themselves, like, what do they care about? And it's a good thing to care about something and express that is giving them power. It's giving the youth voice power, and that's what I truly love about this and the collaborative effort.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that. Just saying that I appreciate all the work that people have put into that website, not only for the teachers but for the students to see, and I think it really does, as the previous speaker just said, it kind of validates all the students' issues, their concerns, and their hard work, and they see each other's writing and they're excited by it. So, yeah, thanks.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you all so, so much. This is great, and really appreciate all your hard work and really making this happen. And, yeah, let's go do it and keep amplifying what the kids are doing and how smart and amazing they are. Thank you, and have a – oh, I guess I should say that and, NWP Radio is hosted by the National Writing Project. We will be posting an archive onto our website, and you can also find us on iTunes. And Letters to the Next President is at letters2president.org. That's with the number 2. And the hashtag is 2NextPres. So find us on any of those channels, and we're really excited to connect with you all. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.